Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I'm so thrilled today. We broke a record, I think. I wrote down all your states when you called in, and we have 41. And then, again, we welcome our guests from Canada, our friends, our brothers and sisters from Canada. I'm in a very unusual place today. I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, and I'm in my bedroom at the Kenneth Copeland House. When they were building this house years ago, they asked me to pick out my, Gloria, my dear friend, said, pick out your bedroom. So I have this great place. It's almost like my home when I come down here and do television with them. And we're doing television, and we're doing our television. It's going to be shown in July, and it's going to be entitled First of All. And, of course, you know what that means, praying first of all for our leaders. And the Awakenings. And I was so thrilled this morning because I've been into the history of the awakening, the great awakening. And here you are calling from the States. So welcome you that I've been studying about and where Massachusetts, welcome, Connecticut, Maine, Virginia, you of the colonies, North Carolina. Well, I've just been studying about how the great awakening began where you are, and how George Whitefield and his amazing preaching united the colonies into what became the United States of America, and it was his dream that it would be one nation under God. Now, he mobilized the church, and my daughter-in-law, Chip's wife, sent me a quote by Andrew Murray that just blessed me. And it says this: the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. And while I'm a teacher and even prophetic office, I've not been an evangelist, you know, where you go out, I go out in a meeting and I call someone else to give the altar call because they've got better anointing on them for that. But when I saw this, that the man who mobilizes, or woman, the person who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. I thought of there was a great prayer revival, and that's one thing I'm studying about and will be on our BVLV broadcast. And before a great awakening happened in 1859, prayer spread across America. And there was a statement by someone: the church has discovered their real power, the power of prayer. And so it isn't me who mobilizes the prayers. Somehow God has anointed me and given me platforms like today. I'm going to go out to the TV studio and talk about mobilizing people to sign up to pray. First of all, he gave me these platforms, but it is the Lord who told me that as a nation raises up an air force, I will raise up a prayer force. And in my studyings for this, I came across something that I had written after our National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 5th, 2011. So that's going back some years. As you know, we have Noon Live. You can go on billybrim.org, Noon Live, Central Standard Time. And there we stream live a prayer meeting. Today it will be led by a Brother Nigel Big Pond, who is a full-blood Indian native pastor. And he's going to tell about the natives and what God led them to do in Washington, D.C. So you might want to go to billybrim.org for that at noon today. Because our Wednesday prayer meeting is on noon, that day in 2011, the National Day of Prayer was on Thursday, May 5th. So I was able to say on our noontime prayer, tomorrow we're going to, because it is the National Day of Prayer, we're going to stream live again, and you be sure to tune in. So we had people that next day from every state and many foreign countries for the National Day of Prayer tuning in live. So the night before, Wednesday night, I called Brother Kenneth Copeland, and I asked him, if you could speak to the prayers who will unite in prayer with us tomorrow online from every state and even other countries, what would you ask them to pray? So he said, let me pray about it. He called me the next morning with what he received. And here is his prayer that he asked them to pray, and he was praying. Quote, "My prayer is for God to give us his wisdom, to give us his strength, that this nation finish its course, not cut short by sin, by government, or by any move of the devil, that we as Christian people cast off the sin that so easily besets us and finish the race and fulfill our destiny." When I heard that, I had already received the prayer and written it down that God gave me to lead the people in. No, and you know how when you go to church and the preacher preaches on a section of scripture that the Holy Ghost has had you in that week? Or you hear a preacher at your church and then you hear a preacher on TV and they're on the same subject? That means the Holy Spirit is speaking to his church. He's saying to the church, we are admonished, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. So he prayed then that our nation would finish its course and fulfill its destiny. That night before, I wrote down what God gave me. And here's the prayer. We ask you to help us reach the destiny you intended when you established this nation, as evidenced in your hand upon the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the preachers of the Great Awakening, our founding fathers, and in the multitude of ways you have preserved us unto this hour. And we humbly ask you for the only thing that will save us, an awakening to God. And so both of these prayers were about our destiny. We have a destiny. We have a destiny. Israel has a destiny. And our destinies are closely aligned. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Acts 17, 22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" I was reading this once and the Lord said to me, notice, pay attention to how I had Paul declare me to a pagan world. He declared me as, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now notice this verse. "And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined their times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation." Let's listen to that verse in the Amplified. "He made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men, and determined," I seem to have lost my page on this, oh, I got it, "and determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes." God gave to Adam a six-day work week, 1,000 years a day as 1,000 years. The United States, Canada, Australia, didn't come forth until the last half of the sixth day. We're like the new kids on the block. But for sure and for sure, God had us, our destinies. He had a destiny for us in mind. And we must not lose it. We must attain it. I believe we can. I believe we are. Canada, oh my goodness, so interesting about your history. How that God so blessed Washington and all of his troops, George Washington, here in the United States. But when they attempted to go into what is now Canada, the blessings were lifted because he had a future for Canada. He has a destiny for us. He has a destiny for Israel. I suggest that you read Jeremiah 30 and 31. And it's just two short chapters. And find out God's destiny for Israel. He said, The Lord, which gives the sun for a light by day, this is verse 35 of Jeremiah 31:35. Thus saith the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me before, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So Israel is going to be a nation forever. We pray for the United States. We pray for Canada. We pray for the other nations that they will be sheep nations. Bless the Lord. Even though the church will be in heaven, we want the places where we were stationed to be sheep nations. And as we are watching the news, things are shaping up. When the United States sent the Tomahawk missile into the air base from which the Syrian planes flew that dropped sarin gas on a village of women and children. Oh, the scenes of it were terrible. If you saw those little dead babies, they so affected our president. That's when they decided to send the Tomahawk missile into that air base to send a message. I heard an announcer say, a television announcer, most of the nations are expressing support for the attack, except for Russia and Iran. That's Ezekiel 38. Things are shaping up. There will be, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, a war in which a coalition between Russia and Iran, headed up by those two, Persia it's called in Ezekiel 38, come down from the north into Israel. Things are shaping up. We have to pray now for the leaders, the wisdom and revelation of God to our elected officials, especially Canada, the United States. We elect them, and we pray for the wisdom for the leaders of Israel. And so let us take a few moments right now to pray for that. For God, you have told us, first of all, you wrote in 1 Timothy 2, 1-4, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those that are in authority. Father, we lift up to you. We lift up together. Oh, dearest Father, we here in the United States, we lift up our President, Donald John Trump and his family, our Vice President, Michael Pence, Our Minister of Defense, the General's Holy Father, that have things to do and decisions to make regarding the threat of North Korea, regarding the threats of nuclear attacks. Holy Father, they're only people. They cannot make it without your wisdom. And we do know that it's right and good to pray for that, for you wrote it in Timothy, and you wrote it. It was wisdom that separated Solomon as a judge. We ask for wisdom, Heavenly Father, for our justices. We have here in the United States a new justice, Justice Gorsuch. Holy Father, he has so much to read. He has so much to bone up on, so to speak, as he meets such important cases right off the bat. But we not only pray for him, we pray for the eight other justices, that you would give them wisdom like you gave to Solomon. We pray, Holy Father, for our lawmakers, the legislators. We pray for the Afron del Mesita Latanya. We pray for the senators. We pray for the representatives. We pray, Holy Father, for the cabinet members. Dearest, dearest one, we pray for Tillerson. We pray for him, Rex Tillerson, Father, in the State Department. Oh, Holy Father, work over that faith, that State Department, and work through it. Father, if you need to move people out, move them out. In the name, above all names, we would have a godly leadership that would lead us. Dearest Father, we lift up Benjamin Netanyahu. We lift up those in Israel who are making decisions. I know the military there. I know some of them, Lord, and I know how they have such an intelligence
apparatus, such an intelligence force across the Middle East, protect those people. We heard that some of the undercover workers had been discovered. Dearest Holy Father, in the name above all name, in the mighty matchless name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, we do pray that you would protect them. Holy Father, we know that you can do what people on earth ask you to do. John Wesley said, it seems that if a God can do nothing except a man on earth ask him. We understand that, Lord. We see you have revealed to us. It is because we have authority as being on the earth, but it is also that we have authority at the right hand of God. Oh, Holy Father, I am here in this home with two people, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, upon whom you've laid a heavy call. And that call carries with it weight. Dearest Holy Father, I ask you to put it on the heart of those on this prayer call today and others around the world to lift up Kenneth Copeland, to lift him up to you for strength, for health, for anointing, for guidance. I'm counting on you to give Gloria Copeland strength, health, guidance, Father. I know what they do, and they don't brag about it. I know what they give. I know who they support. The body of Christ needs them strong and needs them anointed and guided and provided. And dearest Father, I'm asking you that, and I'm asking you to put a burden, if you will, upon those, dearest Father, who are on this call and others. Dearest Lord, I lift up the persecuted Christians. I have read a story about the director of Bibles for the Middle East, and at a baptism, how they were stoned, and Pastor Paul received heavy wounds damaging his skull and needing surgery, requiring surgery. I have watched on Pat Robertson this week about what you're doing among the Muslims. Praise God, hallelujah. On Pat Robertson, I watched a man give a report. He's written a book about standing in the fire, the Middle East, of people in the Middle East who are standing in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he wrote a book on that. And he gave this report that by God's grace, in spite of the setbacks and persecution, more than 3,000 former Muslims were recently baptized in all of the churches of Assembly of Loving God in the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. That's just one group. And then this man said that according to those who keep records, more Muslims have come to Christ in the past 10 years than in 14 centuries. Many are coming by dreams and visions. We ask that those increase. We pray, and we know in Job chapter 33, when Elihu begins to speak, he tells us, and he is a type of Christ, he tells us that God gives visions to men in the nighttime. I know how you led my friend Max through an audible voice and how you spoke to him through visions. And I know that you've done it many, many times over. We ask that it increase. We lift up the persecuted church in Egypt. We lift up the persecuted church in Iraq. And even in Iran there is, in Syria. Oh, Holy Father, we lift them up to you for protection. Ivrosta, Isama, and then the Stan states of the former Soviet Union. Holy Father, in the name above all name, we lift up our brothers and sisters. We just praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Get them the message of the authority of the believer. I pray that you will do that. Sometimes they're new. Sometimes they don't know. They don't know what's given to us in Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, dear Father, we just pray for it. Pray that you'll get that to them. And, dear Father, I ask that you'll, I'm asking the people on this line to pray with me and Gloria about our tapings that we're making today and tomorrow. I'm asking for prayer for the Migdal Prayer and Study Center in Israel. We need our permits, building permits. We need help. We've got the zoning all cleared except for some things they mentioned. And on one of the steps, we have asked and we believe that we received. Praise your name, Father. Help on meeting that requirement. We thank you that our building permit comes through quickly. We give you that it will come through before. We thank you. We've asked you that angels put that on the top of the desks and that people can't even understand why it got approved so early when other things are taking longer. Holy Father, we know that you have moved upon people to provide the funds for Migdal Arbel. We are thanking you so much. They're coming in. We give you glory for that. We thank you for the great, as Pastor, our Pastor Moore would say, the great big whopper chunk giving that we know you bless people. You have blessed people, oh, Father, with riches. And I know that in this hour, I know that great riches are coming to people. And we thank you, Holy Father, for the part that you are setting aside and touching the people for, the large sums that need to come in for us to proceed on Migdal Arbel Prayer and Study Center. We ask for your blessings upon our Israel trip. Which begins for some the 28th and for some the 29th of May, dear Lord, and for our time as you've blessed us and asked us to be a part of the Knesset prayer with Jews and Christians. Holy Father, whatever you have in mind for us, we just do ask that it come to pass, and we believe that it come to pass, and we have lifted it in prayer to you. We worship you and adore you and give you glory forever and ever. Let us pray a bit in the spirit. Vristonda la mahalatino, kivrato no no nombre, y jantoro coho prate de calatonje de cotacha. Give us utterance for these things we've asked. Utterance, Lord. And throughout this day, may the prayer continue. Oh, bratino no corre delicatania, y judo, tanyo si tanyo. Pavrito noca, pavrico noca labricio nonie, ibrato nonie, ibrato nonie, frantili broste, pefrone, pefrone, pefrone. Oh Lord, I pray for these praying people. God, they pray. They know that the great power is in prayer. May they have a running conversation with you all day today. Holy Father, may they obey your urges. Obey your urges to pray. Even if it's like to lift to someone, to lift Sister Rachel Tiffetiller. I remember that she said you told her to put people in a basket and lift them to the Lord. Holy Father, I put in that basket right now. I put in there Cherie Horton, David Horton's wife, who won a great victory over cancer, but symptoms came back. We lift Cherie Horton because Brother David asked us to. We lift her to you now. We lift her to you now for the complete healing. Brother David said he believes in you, and he believes in the power of united prayer. That's what we believe in, Lord, or we wouldn't have called in today. I lift the family of Carol Cooper. I put them in a basket to you as they face decisions. Holy Father. I lift the body of Christ unto a health and healing. Father, for us to serve you and get the job done. You told Kenneth Copeland we need two things. Every minister, every person in the body of Christ, because we have a corporate anointing. We have a corporate call unto glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You told Brother Kenneth Copeland two things are needed to serve the Lord. You have to have a body here on earth. a healthy one, preferably. Although I do know people serve you, Father, from beds of infirmity. But, Father, it's your will that we walk in divine health, and Jesus got it. And then they need the funds. They need the wherewithal to do what they need to do. And I'm lifting up the body of Christ to health today. Oh, dearest Lord, the enemy would come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I plead the blood of Jesus over those who have called in today. I do it. They called in today, and I've got a certain say-so in their lives. And I say so for those who called in on this broadcast, that on this telephone call, that they have health that Jesus got 2,000 years ago, and they have wealth provided them to do what God called them to do. Precious Father, we worship you and adore you. I've written a really important letter to my partners, and we'd like you to get it. If we don't have your address, just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and say, please put me on Billy Brim's mailing list. I want to receive that letter. And then I'm asking you now, first of all, we have a campaign, first of all campaign. We're asking people to call in and say, I commit. People in these days don't like to commit, but it's not much to commit that you would pray first of all for our leaders. 1-800-972-3447. Say, I commit. Sign me up to pray first of all. They'll know what that means if you just say first of all. Or you can write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or go online at billybrim.org. Don't forget, we have our noon prayer today that you can go online, billybrim.org, for Brother Nigel Bigpond and to hear him. Oh, how I do thank you and praise the Lord that you take it, oh my, seriously. 41 states today. Canadians, hallelujah, God has touched you and you have answered. I just do thank you once again. Thank you once again. And I look forward to praying with you again on our Wednesdays. I won't be there at noon today, Brother Nigel Bigpond, but then on our Wednesday prayer call at 8 a.m. You're a special group. And I love you. And I love you for loving our Lord. In the name above all names, Shalom, shalom.